Good morning. Please open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We will read verse 23 to verse number 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23 to 26. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup, and after supper he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, which demonstrates our continued fellowship with you. This morning, Lord, as we remember your atoning work through the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, we ask that you prepare our hearts and give us the grace that we need to stand together at a united front as your people, as we honor that which you have instituted in your church. So we ask that you speak to us this hour from this text so that your people might be ready for you to impact us through this ordinance this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When we look at the Bible, we realize that the Apostle Paul has so much to say. And one of the things that Paul has instructed us to do as God's children is that we must watch our lives and our doctrine. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 16 he says, "When we watch our lives and our doctrine, we will be saving both ourselves and our hearers." This tells us that solid doctrine is vital in the life of a church in general and in the life of a Christian in particular. But how familiar are you with doctrinal preaching? How familiar are you with listening to preaching that is based on the doctrines of the faith, based on the doctrines of Scripture? Well, this morning I'm going to begin by sharing the thoughts of two evangelical theologians on the subject of doctrinal preaching as I set out to preach from that perspective this morning. J.I. Parker and Millard J. Erickson. J.I. Parker is a Canadian theologian who currently serves as a professor of theology at Regent College in Vancouver. And Millard J. Erickson is an American theologian who currently serves as a distinguished professor of theology at Western Seminary in Portland, Oregon. And in his book entitled A Quest for Godliness, The Puritan Vision on the Christian Life, here is what Parker says. To the question, should one preach doctrine? The Puritan answer would be this. What else is there to preach? They were not afraid to bring the profoundest theology into the pulpit if it bore to their hearers' salvation. Doctrinal preaching certainly bores the hypocrites, but it is only doctrinal preaching that will save Christ's sheep. The preacher's job is to proclaim the faith, not to provide entertainment for believers. In other words, to feed the sheep rather than to amuse the goats. And in his book entitled Old Wine in New Wineskins, Doctrinal Preaching in a Changing World, here is what Erickson says. There have been few times in the history of the church when solid doctrinal preaching and teaching have been more needed. Yet seldom has such preaching been more difficult and problematic. And so this morning I premise on the thoughts of these great and fine theologians to present to you this morning a doctrinal sermon on the subject of the Lord's Supper. And so today the sermon focuses on the doctrine of the Lord's Supper as taught in Scripture. There are two ordinances that Christ ordained or instituted in the church. And that is the ordinance of baptism and the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Baptism symbolizes that a convert has begun a new life with Christ. The Lord's Supper demonstrates that this new convert is continuing in fellowship with Christ. And so this morning, we are having our Lord's Supper Sunday. And before I invite you to the Lord's Supper table to partake in the Lord's Supper, I believe it is in the will of the Lord to prepare your hearts from the Word of God through solid doctrinal preaching on the subject of the Lord's Supper so that you can engage in this ordinance with understanding, with wisdom, and with reverence for Christ who has instituted this ordinance as vital in the church. And based on what we've seen from the text that I just read, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 26, we are told that Paul was teaching the church in Corinth on the subject of the Lord's Supper. And he said, on the night when our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread. And after he had given thanks, the Bible tells us that he broke it. And he said, this is my body that has been broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And Scripture goes on to tell us, based on our text, is that after supper, in the same way, Jesus took the cup. And he said, this cup, the content of this cup, the wine in this cup, represents my blood. He said, this is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink from this cup, do so in remembrance of me. And in verse 26 of our text, he says, for as often as you eat the bread, and as often as you drink from the cup, what are you doing? You are proclaiming the Lord's death until he returns. And so Paul was very clear in teaching the church in Corinth the importance and significance of the Lord's Supper. The problem we have today is that the Lord's Supper seemed to be losing its meaning and significance in the life of the church. We just go through the motion every time we partake in the Lord's Supper. We just eat the bread. We just drink from the cup without any thoughtful, meditative approach, without any thoughtfulness on its meaning and significance in the church and in the lives of everyone in the church. But it is important for us to understand this morning that there are certain things that are symbolized in the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And it would be an act of worship to God for you to understand this symbolic meaning of the Lord's Supper as you join us this morning to partake of it. And so in the sermon, I'm going to give you four things that are symbolized in the Lord's Supper as we go ahead to take it this morning. The first thing that is symbolized here is Christ's death. The Lord's Supper symbolizes Christ's death. The bread represents his body. And so when the bread is broken, it symbolizes the breaking of his body. The wine or the contents in the cup represents his blood. When it is poured out and given to you, it represents his blood being poured out for you. And so when you partake in the Lord's Supper by consuming the bread and by consuming the wine or the content of the cup, what you are doing is that you are identifying with Christ's death. You are proclaiming Christ's death. And that's what verse 26 of our text is saying. For as often as you eat the bread and drink from the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. So, though it may seem very natural, though it may seem very superficial, but there is a deeper meaning in the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. You are proclaiming Christ's death in a spiritual sense when you partake in this physical exercise of the Lord's Supper. The second thing that is symbolized in the Lord's Supper is our participation in the benefits of his death. On this Lord's Supper table, Jesus told his disciples, take and eat. By inviting his disciples to reach out and take and eat, he was pretty much asking them to partake in the benefits of his death. When they reached out and took the bread, and they reached out and took the cup, they were partaking and benefiting from the effect of his death to us today. And so this morning, the deacons will be serving you. They will be serving you the bread, and they will be serving you the wine. What that happens is by partaking in that act of service, by reaching out and taking that bread which represents his body, and by reaching out and taking that cup which represents his blood, you are partaking in the benefits of Christ's death. Oh, what a privilege we have today to be involved in the atoning work of Christ, to partake in it and benefit from it through the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And the third thing that this symbolizes is our spiritual nourishment. In John chapter 6, verse 53 to 56, the Apostle John says, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks on my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real, for my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks on my blood abides in me, and I in him. Obviously, Jesus was not speaking about the literal eating of his flesh. He was not speaking about the literal drinking of his blood. He was speaking figuratively. He was speaking in a spiritual sense. His body is represented in the bread and the cup, his blood. So when you eat the bread and drink from the cup, this is what is happening. You are receiving spiritual nourishment. He says, for my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. When you partake of the Lord's Supper, you are giving your spiritual life an opportunity to benefit, to be nourished by the flesh and by the blood of Christ, which has bought for us eternal life and has given us salvation. What an amazing opportunity for saved believers to come together and be involved in this very symbolic ordinance of spiritual nourishment that comes from just eating a bread and drinking from the cup. And the fourth thing that is symbolized in the Lord's Supper is the unity of believers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 7, Paul says, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. The one bread here refers to Christ. That's the body. And so we may be different this morning. We might be different based on our age or our generation gap, perhaps the color of our skin, perhaps our nationality or world views or orientation. We might be different in different ways. But when we come together and partake of the Lord's Supper, we become one in spirit. The Lord's Supper is one of those ordinances that reminds the church of its need for unity and oneness. And this was something that was very, very clear in Jesus' desire. In John chapter 17, verse 21, just before Jesus exited this world, he prayed and he said, Father, let them be one. Just as you and I are one, that the world might know that I am from you. When the church comes together and stand at a united front and display Christian unity, the world knows that indeed Jesus is the Son of the living God. What an amazing opportunity to do that by partaking in the Lord's Supper. And so when we put these four symbolic meanings together, the death of Christ that is symbolized in the Lord's Supper, the fact that we benefit from his death, the fact that we experience spiritual nourishment from that, and the fact that we demonstrate unity in the body, we see that the Lord's Supper is more than just eating bread and drinking from the cup. It is our Christian joy. It is a privilege that God is giving us to demonstrate the central crux of our Christian heritage, the atoning work of Christ. And that is why we do that as often as we can, to remind us of who we are, where we are from. We were once in sin, and now we've been redeemed by his blood. And now we have the opportunity to come together as a body and to demonstrate and celebrate the effect of his death for us this morning. And so as we prepare our hearts, and as I invite you to prepare your hearts to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, I want you to do so with understanding that by partaking in the Lord's Supper, this morning, you are coming into the presence of the God who, even when you were a sinner, he still loved you and he laid down his life. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, who laid down his life just so that you will be set free. As you partake in the Lord's Supper, you know that it is a privilege for you to identify with the death of your master, Jesus Christ, and to proclaim it in the eating of the bread and in the drinking from the cup. As you come into this ordinance this morning, you know that by so doing, you are benefiting all that which he has bought for us by shedding his blood. You are benefiting his free gift of salvation. You are benefiting his love. You are benefiting all that which his blood has purchased for us, full and free. And as you come on the table, you know that by so doing, you are giving your spiritual life an opportunity to experience nourishment, because there is no other food that is better than the food that Christ gave us. For his flesh is real food and his blood is real drink. And as you do so, you know that as an individual, you are coming together and standing at a united front with every member of this church, and you are displaying Christian love and Christian unity through the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And so this morning, please, I beg you, in the name of the Lord, do not come to the Lord's Supper table just as an unthoughtful ritual. Come with meditation. Come with a spirit of remembrance. Remember the work of Christ. Meditate on the effect of his death in your life, and let that transform your mind as you crush that bread and as you drink from that cup, because that is what Christ intended for you. If you are here this morning and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are welcome to partake in the Lord's Supper, because this is for those for whom Christ died and who have benefited from his death. But if you are here this morning and your guilt of sin has not been removed, if you have not been saved by his grace, if you have not confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you have not believed in your heart that he rose again and that he is your Savior, may this be an opportunity for you to open your heart and accept him as your Lord and Savior. If you could do that today, your life will not only change, but then you will partake in this feast this morning in a more meaningful and thoughtful way. You know who you are, and you know who you have in the inside of you. It's Christ in you. Paul says, Christ in me, the hope of my glory. I want to challenge you this morning by asking you the question, is the Lord Jesus in you? If you don't have Christ in you, partaking in the Lord's Supper is not recognizing the purpose for which Christ died. This is a feast for those who recognize it and want to proclaim it. He died to save me. Jesus died to save me. That's what you are saying. So if you've not been saved, you shouldn't partake of the Lord's Supper, because it is for those who are saying, thank you, Lord Jesus, for laying down your life that I may live. I proclaim the significance of your death by partaking in the Lord's Supper. And that's what this is for. And if you are here this morning and you would like to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's very simple. Just confess him in your heart right now, and he will come in and you will be saved. If you would like to speak with me, or speak with someone else after the service who might help you make that decision or take you through the process of accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we would be more than willing to do so. And for all of you who are here this morning, and you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in your heart, I'd like for us to take a moment right now in application of this sermon. Just examine yourself and pray the prayer of David saying, "Search me, Lord, and try me, and see if there be any wrong in me, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness." I'd like to invite you to examine yourself and ask God to give you the right heart and the right spirit that you need as we enter into this next phase of the service in application of this sermon by partaking in the Lord's Supper. So would you bow down your heads for a moment? And as you do, please play the song, "There is a Fountain Filled with Blood."